This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for the session that was recorded March of 2024. This is part number 3 of a 3-part series that began in January of the month of of the year 2024, and this is the final part. Our subject scripture is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse number 1. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. The subject message, the title for the message is Now is the Time, Part Number 3. Now, when I left off last month, I had just finished with verse 8 of the 8 verses in the passage of scripture following our subject verses. Now, as you can see, there truly is a time for everything and every situation that takes place on this earth and in our lives. The greatest seed of hope that we all can have is that everything has a specific time attached to it, and in the case of those things that bring about sadness, anger, fear, torment, and such that are not of God, they will not be negatively affecting our lives forever. That is, unless we let them. Take a look at these scriptures. Psalms chapter 30, verse number 5. The middle part says, the second part says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10 says, God is speaking, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then we go to Isaiah 43 and verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Verse 2. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. These are but a few of the multitude of scriptures that assure us that when we are in a place of fear, conflict, dismay, or anything else that would cause us problems, he is there to see us through. This promise goes first to his people or children, and those that are directly related to them. Then it trickles down to all others who may be seeking relief from one of his people through intercessory prayer. The thing is, God has things set up so that anyone who wants to make it into heaven has the chance to do so. That means if you don't make it in, you can't say that you didn't get the opportunity. You missed it by choice. Time and again, over the course of your life, especially in this nation, you have been made aware of the fact that there is a God who created us to be His people and to follow His directions for our lives. But as you know, or should know, thanks to Adam, we all inherited a nature of disobedience, or what's known as a sin nature, that effectively alienated us from Him, talking about God. However, God had a plan already set up to deal with this situation. That was the birth, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, as we know, it took nearly 4,000 years for His plan to be carried out. The reason being, He wanted to establish the full range of laws and guidelines for mankind to follow. It also allowed Him to give us examples of what takes place when man either follows those laws or chooses to ignore them. Everything He did had a specific time to pass before it occurred or came to pass. The time between the fall of Adam's sin and the flood took centuries while God established His creation. After that, it took centuries before He chose Abram, or Abraham, to be the one to set the example of faith for all Christians to follow or to live by. It took a little over 90 years before Abram and his wife Sarah would be blessed with the child that was the initial seed that would eventually usher in our Lord. Then God had to prove Abraham by giving him what proved to be the ultimate example of great faith when He told Abraham to sacrifice a child that he and his wife had waited so long for as a sign of his obedience to Him. Abraham followed His directions to the letter. Why did he do this? Because of his faith in God's word, which had been established all those centuries prior to his being born, and the promise that through this child, Abraham would become the father of many nations. If we take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse number 17, it says this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In order for someone to have that kind of faith in God, they have to be aware of the things that he has already done in the past. This is one of the main reasons it is necessary for Christians to study their Bibles, especially the Old Testament scriptures. For within them are the seeds of our true faith. People who only rely on what the New Testament scriptures reveal are missing most of God's purpose for our lives because they are operating on about 40% knowledge when they should be on or at least 80% knowledge. This is why there is so much confusion in the body of Christ. People can't agree on what is and is not of God. Those that are what I call New Testament aints, that's saints without the S, are people that even though they may be saved, they are walking in the paths of their own destruction because they are putting their faith in a Christ small c that does not exist. The Jesus Christ they believe in is essentially a figment of their own making. He is just like the rest of us. Some of you have probably seen this commercial on TV which says that Jesus gets us, all of us. What this commercial does is set people, or it gets people to believe that since he gets us, he knows we are imperfect and that we can't be expected to be perfect. So there is no need for us to even attempt to be something that we can't possibly be. This then leads to several problems. The first being when negative things occur to those that are walking in darkness or in sin, what are they to believe? The Old Testament reveals what happens to all that walk in disobedience to God's word. Read Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verses 15 on down through to the end of that chapter. As opposed to what happens to those that walk according to his word. Deuteronomy, that same chapter, verses 1 through 14. This chapter gives clear warning that we need to follow all of his word and not pick and choose what to obey and what to discard. In other words, we are being commanded to be perfect. Even in the New Testament, Jesus himself makes the statement, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. So what this commercial does is give the idea that Jesus didn't really mean that you need to at least be pursuing perfection. This in turn leads to the lunacy that we see in the churches today. The ordaining of unrepentant homosexuals, lesbians, fornicators, adulterers, blasphemers and the like as pastors, bishops, choir directors, deacons, and other offices in ministry. This then tells the world that they can continue in whatever they are doing and still be Christians, small c. Why? Because Jesus gets us. Well, what you need to know is this. Over the course of Bible history, there are periods of time that are referred to as dispensations. Without going into detail, let me say this. The dispensation we are living in today is the dispensation of grace, or the church age. Now, under this dispensation, God has afforded us with the luxury of being able to walk around in an ungodly state of mind, and He would not cause us to be stricken down as quickly as He did in the times before the birth of Christ. Once again, it takes knowledge of the Old Testament to see how He dealt with ungodly people, even His chosen people, when He got fed up with them for their sinful ways. If you knew that, you could more fully appreciate what He did for us in this present time of grace and mercy. Most of what is going on in the world today is far worse than what was taking place in previous dispensations. How could that be, you might ask? Because back then the knowledge of God and His laws was not as widespread as it is today. The people back then were essentially blind to most of what God was judging them for. Back then, there were no churches on just about every corner. There definitely were no TVs, radios, internet, social media, or other forms of communications like we have today that spread His word from one corner of the world to another. God holds people more accountable today for the sins that they commit than He did back then, based on the multitude of examples that we are given to the consequences of disobeying Him. Yet, rather than striking them down quickly, He gives them time to gain knowledge of what He wants them to do and change their ways. Of course, as the message of this series is pointing out, there is a time limit or season to all things, including this age of grace, talking about the church age. Just exactly when that time will come is not given to us to know exactly. In fact, as Jesus said Himself, He didn't know when that time will be because it is left up to the Father. However, He did give us plenty of information as to the conditions of the world and mankind just before this age would come to an end. And if you know your Bible, both Old and New Testament, every sign that is spoken of is now in play. The wars, famines, earthquakes, man's inhumanity to his fellow man, abominable acts, rebellions against him and other things are consistently getting worse and worse. Even the institution he put here to fight against it is itself beginning to compromise that position for the purpose of gaining a position of favoritism with those that it is supposed to be fighting against. All of these things are what is known as signs of the times. Now, why did he allow this to go on, and what is his purpose? It all has to do with the inevitable fact that our time, all of mankind's on this earth, is about to run out, at least in what is known as the dispensation of grace. After that, then what will follow for those that are left here will be total hell on earth. You think things are bad now. This is a Sunday school picnic compared to what is going to come. But as you notice, I said for those here. What I mean by that is, before any of this happens, Jesus Christ will remove his church from this earth by way of the rapture, the massive removal of a multitude in an instant. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, this message is to let you know that your time is running out. How long you have left is anyone's guess. It could be in a year or more, or it could be in an hour or less. My question to you is this: are you ready? If not, now is the time to get right. All it takes is a simple prayer being made from the heart. That is the key. Merely repeating words won't get it if you are not sincere. The Bible says, among other things, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 2, "Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time." That's a paraphrase. While you still have breath in your body, cry out to him, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sinful ways. I repent of my sins and ask you to come into my heart and cleanse me so that I will be able to be the type of person that you want me to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." Congratulations. You have just used this time wisely and have passed from death to life in him. Well, that's the end of our series on time, and I hope that you have taken heed to the message and begun to realize there's a whole lot that you need to know, and that there's so little time to get caught up on it. That's why it is urgent that you at least start out on the right track by asking the Lord to forgive you, this praying this prayer that I just led you in. It's not a long prayer, but like I say, it's not what you're saying that is going to get God's reaction. It's whether or not it's coming from your heart, whether you mean it or whether you're just repeating words. You don't want to just be repeating words. You got to have full intention of doing what you are asking him for, and then begin to do that, and don't be swayed by family and friends to come up and tell you, oh, it don't really take all that, or you just have gone off the deep end, you got crazy like some of these other people out here we know. No, that's the devil. And that's the last thing, that's the last one you want to be listening to and following is the devil. You've been following them all this time, and look where it's got you. Nowhere. So, with that being said, I'm closing the message out. As usual, in closing, let me say God bless you and your family real good until we get together again. From the Word of God, good day.